soul he owed John D.
There's some Fred Eagle Smith and John Deere. This is Coral, Coral FM. We're at, this is Sound FM, www.soundfm, channel 946 on digital cable and 100.3 on your analog dial. We're also known as CKMS Radio Waterloo. And I'm here in the studio with Robert Reed from the Waterloo Region Record. And we were talking about Stratford, but now we're going to move up the highway, down the highway. How far is Blythe away from Stratford?
Oh, I think about an hour.
An hour.
Whether it's up or down or sideways.
We're going to move an hour away from Stratford. We're going to talk about the Blythe Festival. And then we should talk a little, and towards the end, we'll talk about Anthony and what he's going to do in 2013. But you've seen some productions of the Blythe Festival, right?
I've seen one. Okay. The opening production of Dear Johnny Deere, and it's written by the Calgary playwright Ken Cameron. And Ken is originally from southwestern Ontario, grew up on a farm, went out to Calgary. And this essentially is 15 songs by Fred Eagle Smith, untouched. And the songs are kind of welded together with some sort of loose narrative to tie all of the songs together.
Yep.
It's directed by the artistic director, Eric Coates, in his 10th year as artistic director of Blythe.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love Fred Eagle Smith's music. I think he's one of our best songwriters. And the best part of this production are the songs.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Fred does the songs better.
Oh.
And the narrative is really cliche and hackneyed. It doesn't add anything at all to the songs. It just provides kind of a excuse to perform the songs on stage by people who can't perform the music as good as Fred. It doesn't add anything to the songs. In fact, it's a little bit distracting because the songs take you to a place which is quite dark, quite depressing, quite despairing, and there's a tacked on happy ending to the play that I think violates the songs themselves. And
I don't know if Fred would like that.
Well, I think Fred, Fred is an entrepreneur as well as an artist, and if he's getting royalties, he's happy. But I'm sure he considered this somewhat of a compliment, but he certainly has no interest or stake in the production,
Young couple on a farm trying to make it, all these obstacles around them, basically?
Yeah. It could be in any one of Fred's
Wingfield,
songs.
So.
this is maybe a Wingfield Farm approach to music, which is not Wingfield Farm, and that's the problem.
Okay.
Ken tries to turn Fred Eagle Smith into Walt Wingfield, and it doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work.
No. Yeah. Do you know anything about the rest of the show?
Well, Having Hope at Home is a David S. Craig, a comedy, and it was, according to Eric Coates, the play during his first season that kind of saved his buns, because the first season was going quite badly, and with Having Hope at Home, it kind of turned the fortunes around the first season. And in honor of his 10 years at the festival, he's bringing it back. Oh, excuse me.
That's okay.
And it's directed by Leah Cherniak, who has done a lot of good work for Blythe over
some
the years.
Water.
Yeah.
She has. Actually, she's a great Canadian director. This is basically a woman having dinner. Her family. I think she's estranged from her family. It sounds like she's inviting everybody over for dinner, sort of. With all these great expectations, and she's pregnant as well, or something like that.
So, yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, so that's that sounds interesting. And then there is, well, you talked about the farm show, the updated version. So that's really interesting. And actually, last year, Paul Thompson won the Governor General's Award for Lifetime Achievement in the Arts, which I thought was great. There's a thriller.
Well, there's two other things, mm-hmm. And we'll take those in the order in which they will be opening, is The Lonely Diner.
I forgot that. Oh, that's right.
And that is by Beverly Cooper. She's the playwright who wrote Innocence Lost, the story about Stephen Truscott that Stratford did a few seasons ago. And this is very different. And I think any of us who have lived in southwestern Ontario, we've heard apocryphal stories about Al Capone visiting for whatever reason. I know my childhood friend, one of his uncles was reputed to be a very good radiator repairman in London, Ontario, and it was reputed that Al Capone would get his rad work done in London, you know, the idea being they would be riddled, you know, with the bullets from submachine guns, you know, that Elliot Ness and his law enforcement officers were wielding. But anyway, so Beverly made her way around southwest Ontario listening to all of these stories. In fact, the Walper Hotel.
I was just
going to
say, the Rumrunner is my favorite pub. There's a connection to
supposedly.
Supposedly. Allegedly. Allegedly.
So, yeah. So, Beverly put together this idea about this woman running a, I believe it's a restaurant or something.
And, I think it's a diner.
A diner. Yeah. And, yes. The Lonely Diner, there you have
all
it.
All the guests.
A gentleman comes a-calling and kind of turns the life of a lady who's in some sort of kind of psychological, emotional crossroads, and it sends her life in an unexpected direction. And I guess that leads us to the last one, which I think is more of a thriller, The Devil We Know, and by two Alberta playwrights, a husband and wife team of Cheryl Fogo and Clem Martini. And this takes place in Regina in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a home alone, home invasion thing. Mm-hmm. And it is actually based on something that happened to Cheryl's family.
Oh, okay.
And so the caller is a pretty dangerous dude, I guess, and it's kind of a thriller. And of course, Blythe has done a number of thrillers in the past. I'll Be Home. What's it?
I'll Be Home Before Midnight.
Midnight.
That's
maybe
become a Canadian classic. I think
Canadian classic. So they've had some good luck with kind of thrillers, and this is more of an urban than a rural thriller, but that is very promising as well. And there's two smaller productions, the Young Company production of The Farm, 2012, with Severn Thompson. We've already touched on that. And then there is a young Canadian playwright by the name of Brooke Johnson.
Yeah.
She wrote and will be performing the Trudeau Stories,
yeah,
which is actually based on a friendship she established with the former prime minister after he had resigned from or retired from politics, and she was a student at the National Theatre School.
Right.
They became friends, and this work is based on her friendship with Trudeau. So both these will likely take place not at the main stage in the Blythe Memorial Hall, but in the studio on Dinsley Street in Blythe. And I'm not quite sure where the farm show takes place, but maybe in a barn somewhere in the area. I'm not quite sure, but it'll be an interesting production nonetheless with the Young Company.
Yeah, if that's true. Well, Blythe... Flies continues to amaze and enlighten. I think I read, isn't there a new eatery there? I think I read.
Yes, there is. And I was pleasantly surprised to note that when I got to Blythe. I've always enjoyed eating at the Blythe Inn, and I will continue to eat there. And it has very good country-style cooking. The Blythe Inn is a landmark in downtown Blythe, if we can call it a downtown, much as it's the very, Whopper is in downtown Kitchener. Yeah. The food is always good, but this is a new eatery. It's called Part 2 Bistro because the owners who are from the area, they have a B&B in Blythe that it was the old a CN station, I think, that became a B&B. And the food here is closer to fine dining.
Right.
They try to use as many local meats and produce as they can.
Which is,
and it,
you
it's
know,
just
perfect.
One other good reason to go to Blythe. Now you can have a good meal as well as entertaining Canadian fare of the theatrical variety.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about theater-wise?
I think I'm talked out
for
now.
I think you're done. I think you're, well, should we play some more Fred Eaglesmith? How about White Trash?
Why not? Because okay. This is another song, as is John Deere, that have been incorporated into the musical.
Dear John Deere. Okay, here's Fred Eaglesmith and White Trash on Coral FM. This is taken from the Farrington Art Guild. This is a while back. This is an old recording, but it's still a goodie. I like Fred Eaglesmith. He's great. Oops.
Well, you notice that after we were singing all these songs about cars and guns and divorce, that we were starting to lose our folk audience, you know. Slowly just drifting away, you know, to bring your pastures, you know. So I thought I would write a sing-along song that would bring me and them back into the fold. You know? Feel like we're one again, you know. And if there's any less people in some of those folk clubs, we would be one, you know. I was even thinking about wearing Birkenstocks, but I just couldn't get tall enough to fit to the microphone. You know, maybe putting on some grays and pastels and stuff. You know. I didn't feel like myself really that much, you know. So I just thought I'd write this song, and just so there's no mistake in it, we're all one. I thought I would teach it to you tonight, and then you can hum it on your way out. When I met her, she was a beauty queen. The wall was something more. Now she's hanging out with me in front of a liquor store. And it won't start when you shut it off. When she has to get the beer, she puts it in the backseat. Then she quietly says to me, Farmington.
lead right in the song. Just too good, you know?
Here's some Miss Angel and the Home Wreckers. This is Pearl FM on Sound FM.
Fell down on my just a